Hello everyone, welcome to episode 11 of Right to the Source, a podcast from IGB and H2 Gambling Capital, where we try and make data fun, to go back to our original ethos of this podcast. And this week, as ever, I'm joined by the Robin to my Batman, Mr. Ed Birkin. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm good, thank you, Robin. I'm good. And I was under the impression we were being joined by a guest, but as of 2 minutes ago when I reminded you, you hadn't sent them the link. So we may have a third person joining us, we may not. But look, I've been thinking about this podcast and we need more structure. So we've got some segments.
Okay.
And yep. We did say at the end of the last week's meeting that we are going to talk about two countries, one of which
we are
is Niger.
Yes.
And one of them is Peru.
Yes. So let's start with Niger and Peru. And then I think another interesting segment if we bring in Stat of the Week.
Okay.
So
nice
from yep. So I want it to feel organic. You know, we're lo-fi, we're indie. You know, we're naturalistic. We're the mumblecore of podcasts.
Well, before we start on the data, can I please just send out my congratulations and best wishes to two of your colleagues, Alessandra and Jamie, who got married on Friday.
Massive congratulations to them. It's lovely news and they're great people, so it's really nice to hear. And I understand you're about to jet off in the direction of the Italian section. Segment of their celebrations.
Well, you know, it's combined. Italy's a big gambling market, as you're well aware.
So it's a work trip.
It's purely for market research purposes.
Excellent.
If I get a chance to celebrate with them, and yeah, absolutely.
Plastic. But yes, so yes. Without any further ado, let's start with Niger.
Okay.
I mean, let's be honest. It's a market that I'll be totally honest. It's a market that I don't know that much about. As far as I know, when we talked a few weeks back, we talked about the kind of how a lot of African markets were essentially kind of closed off through a monopoly format. And I understand that most forms of gambling, as far as I know, are under the control of the lottery, but I think there is one land-based casino in the capital.
Correct, Robin. So the only regulated forms of gambling are the lottery and a state-run casino. The lottery is called Lenani, Lotterie Nationale du Niger, and we actually have some data on that. Well, it's
wow.
An estimate. We had some 2021 sales data and based on some tax revenue, etc. So we estimate the sales of, in fact, you can guess. I'll even give you the local currency. So 2023 lottery sales of 35 billion West African francs. Take a guess of that in US dollars.
How many? Say that again.
35 billion West African.
35 billion West African francs in USD. I wouldn't dare.
So 58 million USD of sales. 25 million GGR. That's
okay.
For an adult population of 13 million, and a GDP of 22 billion US dollars. So
wow.
That's all the stats that I have on. Niger.
Well, we've added a new market to the roster, some excellent data there. Now, Peru obviously is something that we've covered more. You know, my colleague Kyle Goldsmith, who handles the LATAM region for us, has been doing a lot on the market. And it's an interesting one because obviously over the past few years, all the focus was on Brazil. And it was about the, you know, long and occasionally torturous and occasionally fraught process to get regulation through and active in Brazil. And in the background, Peru essentially quietly and methodically worked its way through the process and launched the market. Now, obviously, there are the local brands. There's Apuesta Total, run by Gonzalo Perez, you know, friend of IGB, friend of H2, and someone we should definitely get on as a guest.
Yeah, I mean, and if he agrees, we could even send him the login details before the show starts. So that would.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm on it.
Okay.
I'm on it.
Shout out to Gonzalo. Yeah, friend of the show. Not been on, but yes, future.
Yeah,
friend
but
of the show.
You know, future. Well, will be a friend. Will be even more of a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all friends. Strangers are just a friend of the shows we haven't met yet.
Disagree with that, but okay. You go all cuddly.
Yeah, yeah. Be nice.
Okay, let's stick to data.
Yes, so Peru, it was all looking good. Obviously, Apuesta Total, Betson have a big presence. And then we had the 1% consumption tax. Now, the locals essentially are very concerned about the impact of that on operations and the bleed to the illegal market, because essentially it makes it less viable. It was one of these processes that it looked really good, felt really good, and then at the last minute, the start of this year, they suddenly hit the industry with this additional tax burden, which is...
They've done it to 0.3% until July, and I thought they'd proposed, or I thought they passed it, maybe not, legislation where they're changing it to a GGR tax, or have I completely made that up?
I'm not sure, actually.
Well, if your guess comes on, we can find out, but that's probably something that even IGB would have written about, so you could do a quick look at your website and find out. But anyway, so what else? Okay, so they've got the tax that may, that is going to be the 1% tax is it on turnover or deposits?
I think it's turnover.
Yeah, but look, the market's growing strongly, so I'll give a day. So actually, we had the tax data came in this morning, or we found it this morning. This morning being Wednesday, this podcast probably going out quite a few days later, depending on how busy you are, Robin. So 44.6 million pen Peruvian sol.
Yeah.
Which is $12 million US dollars, up 176% year on. That's because now they've only started including the tax for the online. Year to date, well, round up 220 million sol, 58 million US dollars, up 115% this year. Our estimate of the onshore online betting and gaming market for Peru this year, 1.6 billion sol, so $423 million. We have it growing 42% year on year. The total online market, including the illegal, at 2.32 billion sol, so $620 million, so 68% onshore. Obviously, if this 1% kicks in, because I think it was down at 0.3%, and I was under the impression that it was changing to a GGR tax, that could change next year, and there is potentially lower channelization. But the onshore at the moment is still growing pretty strongly, or at least it had been up until June. The actual tax level in July was down on June, but again, actually in June there was a very strong sports figure, which obviously the sports versus the iGaming sports GGR can fluctuate because of the hold margin, depending on results. So it could just be July's down a bit because it's against particularly tough comps there. We don't know the split for iGaming and sports. So this, it's not for July, it's not reported. We should get our hands on any of that split. So look, it's been, in my view, it's been a success story. But as you say, this tax issue is something that could derail things a little bit.
And then what about the kind of competitive landscape? Is it I mean, Betson is obviously an international company, but it built its presence through M&A. You know, people like Incabet acquiring that, Apuesta Total is always kind of cited as one of the top brands in the country. In terms of market share, I mean, do you see it as, you know, really kind of like the locals dominating, or is there kind of like evidence of the internationals kind of like carving out share?
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, if we look at... That's a completely wrong file. If we look at the annual data that we have, so we normally do annual market share. 2024, we have Apuesta Total at about 38% of the market. Ruard Bet 10%, Te Apuesta 10%. And if you add up Betson's three brands there, Betson, Incabet, BetSafe, they've got about 26% of the market, which has been coming down. Previously, they were much higher. So, yeah, Betson has a meaningful presence, but, you know, the top three are all kind of local operators, and actually the largest of Betson's brands there is, in, at least in our data, Incabet, which again was a local brand they bought. They're the main ones. We have actually just launched, and I say just launched insofar as I've done it, but I'm not sure it's even on our website yet. It will be by the time this is out. We're running monthly market share, so this is less detailed. This is just a share of web traffic rather than looking into operators' financials for our more detailed annual one. So if I'm looking in terms of traffic, as I get this very well prepared, then we have, it was actually open, let's have a look. So again, actually the big one, the big difference in this between what we estimated for 2024 and what we have now for 2025 is Apuesta Total still the market leader. It's come down. The big mover is Betano, Betano.pe. That's one which yeah, RGB potentially was a bit higher in 2024 because they've now changed to the .pe from their .com site. So maybe that wasn't totally included in it. But as we've seen in Brazil and other markets where they're really focusing money, Betano are doing well and taking share. But yeah, then it's the same guys. Bake now in there and done it. I think there were 72 operators who got a license. you know, you compare it to, someone said to me, I'm very surprised, they're looking at LATAM data, I'm very surprised that your legal market or onshore channelization is lower in Colombia, which has been regulated for a long time, than it is than it is in Peru. And I was like, yeah, I get why you'd think that initially. And at first when I looked at it, I was like, oh, but you've got to look at it from the flip side. Peru, there's 72 operators who are onshore. So, you know, contributing to the onshore revenues. In Colombia, there's 15. I mean, you are not, with just 15 operators in the market, that just leaves a lot of large operators offshore. So you're going
to
get that.
So just thinking about kind of proportionately to a market size, I mean, like, is there any kind of correlation between number of brands, size of population, you feel that kind of, you know, positively impacts channelization?
Yeah, I think number of, I mean, you get to a certain level of brands and it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you've got 200 brands or you've got 1,000, you know, the tail is very long. I mean, you know, look at the UK, you know, you could probably take the bottom 1,000 brands and they generate, I don't know, square roots of very little. But if you have 10, 15, one operator, you're just not going to get high channelization. And that's the issue thing we talked about in the, did we talk about last week in New Zealand? Where, you know, you've got a monopoly operator with TAB, and for sports, and you're restricting it to, is it 12 or 15 online licenses?
50.
For gaming. And, you know, that's just a lot of operators still targeting the market from offshore. Yeah, I think, yeah, you do need a significant number of operators if you want to start getting higher levels of channelization. And, you know, people like choice. But I actually, so I've clicked the random country generator to see what we're doing for next week.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Before we do that, we said we'd have a guest.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, you've not sent them the link. Well, here we have our special guest joining.
Hello.
So joining us on the podcast this week is Clarion's LATAM liaison, one of my favourite colleagues to work with, Liliana Costa. Lily, welcome to Right to the Tours.
Okay, glad to be here. Thank you, Robinson.
So, nice to see you, Lily.
Thank you. Nice to see you too.
Now, we were just talking about our random country generator before we get, and then we'll get on to the interview. So the first one came up was Turkmenistan. So I press next. So Panama next week.
Panama. Okay. Let me write that down. We'll talk about Panama.
Now, Lily, you work with the events team, don't you, at Clarion?
I do.
And digital.
Yes, and yes. That's the same team who believe that H2 don't deserve a keynote at Clarion events. So I would like to reciprocate and inform you that this will not be a keynote for you. It will be a fireside chat with limited time.
You sort of have the right for a keynote. Maybe not a full track, but a keynote. We'll be glad to have
you. Okay, we've heard it here. Official H2 keynote at ICE.
I would argue against that. You're not quite there yet, Ed. You know, we just, a bit more work, you know, a few more years, and then you'll get in a position where we can give you a junior sub-keynote.
Okay.
Sub-keynote.
So you could speak standing next to the stage, but not on the stage.
Fine, I like to be relaxed. Really, so that's, you missed the start. You missed the start of our podcast because of Robin's lack of organisation. But we were questioning and putting on the spot here, online tax in Peru. So
yes,
there's the GGR tax, and then there's the tax which is on, turnover or deposits, 1% ISC tax,
yes,
which I was saying I believe was reduced to 0.3% until July. I thought that legislation had at least been proposed, if not passed, to turn that, to scrap that and turn it to a GGR tax. Is that correct or is that made up in my head?
No, so the 12% remains, the GGR 12% tax. What is new is the 1% ISC tax, which that just came into place in 1st July, but it's all on GGR.
So the, okay, so the 1% is on top of the 12% of GGR?
Yes.
And that's 1% of what?
There is a consumer consumption tax in Peru that companies pay, the ISC, which was not applied to gambling before. Now it does. It's just a tax that was not applied before on gambling, but now it comes into force.
Right.
And is that going to impact the market?
I don't think so. Personally, I don't think so. I think that 1%, eventually the industry was expecting to eventually happen. And besides, it's a recently opened regulated market. But Peru has a very stable market. It's very well regulated on land base and online. So, and it was announced in the beginning, so when official regulated beginning of the year. It was already expected because the regulator, Mincetur, had made that sort of clear that they would expect to introduce this tax at some point. Listen, Peru is newly regulated and offers a fresh, fast-growing market with not many legacy constraints than all the markets. So it's very stable. I have no concerns in the impact of the industry for that 1%.
So I believe, so yes, it was 1% of each wager. And as you said, they now change it to... It's confusing. They're saying they change it now to GGR tax to align it. I'm just not sure what rate. This is where our lack of preparation is probably showing in the podcast.
Yeah, it is somewhat. I mean, well, this is your format. You know, we pick countries at random and then we see what happens. And I noticed last week we had Niger, we had Peru. This week we only have Panama. So what's our second market for next week?
Random country then, next random country. I mean, why Saudi Arabia? There's not really a lot to say that.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Saudi Arabia is probably, that's probably years away.
All right, this is not good for me. I'll have to do some research. Liechtenstein and
okay.
Panama.
Okay, Liechtenstein Lily. And Panama. Picking up the small markets.
We've got a guest on, by the way, Robin. Lily, so you focus a lot on Brazil. There was a lot of excitement. Robin was WhatsApping me while I was trying to have a nice, relaxed evening, getting all excited about this Senate discussion and potential vote on the upcoming land-based casino Yoga de Bicho bingo thing, and it's all going to get launched. And I was like, Robin, things don't happen that quickly in Brazil. Just pipe down. Anyway, the vote was postponed.
This bizarre sort of fictionalized version of the conversation. Basically, with the vote being postponed.
Hang on. Sorry, can we let your Latin America liaison actually answer the question, when someone who knows about it rather than you?
See, I'm going to actually ask a more sensible version of the question rather than some long rambling story about how you were getting imaginary texts from me. Now, with that vote being postponed, and considering how old that legislation is, do you see the supporters continuing with that omnibus approach for land-based, or do you see scope for kind of separate projects, you know, like, for example, a dedicated land-based one, a dedicated, you know, kind of like bingo hall one? Like, do you see that process, like that bill kind of, what was it, 1991 or something?
Yes.
Like, can that
1991
continue?
And the original one, it's 25 years older than that, probably.
Wow.
It's just suffered so many changes. If we recall, the sports betting or the iGaming bill came from this same bill, which they removed sports betting and iGaming just out of it and passed it independently. I think eventually that's what's going to happen, or what it must happen to this bill for it to pass. I don't believe that a bill is going to be passed where it has casinos, bingo, and Jogo do Bicho in one single proposition. So yes, I do see that eventually casinos will be separate from this bill and they will pass. And then bingo and Jogo do Bicho will come on second and third place. Besides, I think we are on a stage of stabilizing the industry with the bets right now. And I was not expecting the bill to pass immediately. I feel there is still a lot of discussion with the new regulation and a new legislation now. It was not really... You can't go through logic in Brazil, right? The logic in Brazil is illogical. Yeah. But yes, definitely a different casino bill.
Lily, it surprises me from the outside that you say casino first, then Yoga de Bicho and bingo, because bingo halls were legal until, what, about 20 years ago? 2008, maybe?
That's still the 90s.
And so they were legal, they were popular. Is that not an easier thing to bring back first before you start talking about casinos and resort casinos?
I don't think so, because of the controversy, the social ideology and a bit of culture as well, impact that it has. And the investment that the casinos would bring to Brazil are not the same that Jogdobishu or Bing would bring. So there is a lot of interest from the Ministry of Tourism. For example, remember Bingo's casinos, they are planned to come into integrated resorts or tourist hubs. That's where the focus will be. It's a bit, it has the casinos, it has the building, it has the artists, it has the entertainment and everything else. So it is a lot of investment, and I think Ministry of Tourism is very keen on getting that legalized ASAP.
And then final question from me, because we are coming up on time. With this process having effectively been, you know, kind of like beaten back by the lack of votes, do you feel that could potentially have a knock-on effect for the bets market in terms of kind of, you know, consolidating like the opposing forces in the legislature?
No, I don't think so. I think it's two different subjects. The law has passed, the market has opened, the regulated market is opened. Yes, there is still a lot of controversy inside the Chamber of Deputies and Senate of wanting to kill completely the industry. I think it's too late for that. It's too late for that, and Brazil needs the revenues because they are in a big hole. And that was one of the reasons they increased the tax for pets again in Brazil, unexpectedly. But no, I don't think it's going to be related. It's two different topics. Now, this bill will come back to the commissions in the Chamber of Deputies, more discussion, and it starts all over again, all the process to carry on discussions. Remember when, in December 2018, when the legalization of sports betting again happened? No one was expecting. It was just before recess at Christmas.
And yeah, remember, it's like 22nd of December. To pass
December and Senate in the same afternoon, which is, I never heard of that happening before. I think only in an agricultural bill or something happened before. So it might happen the same with casinos when we less expect it. Is it going to be soon? I don't think so. I think the market needs to settle first with what they have and then give another step forward. But it's Brazil, you never know.
So Jogdobishu, the animal game, is very widespread there, despite being technically not legal. Clearly, for the operators, there are some costs involved of operating a non-legal game in certain payments to protect it. But on the flip side, if it becomes legal, having seen how much the taxes, effective tax rate of now, about 51% in Brazil with all the other taxes, etc., is this something you think the Jogdobishu operators would actually want it to become legal? Because it's so ingrained, like it's already such a big size anyway, my understanding is, that in reality, is it not just going to just give them limited market growth and actually just huge cost growth? Because, you know, they'll be viewed as you said, Brazil needs the money, it'll be viewed as a tax, you know, something to get taxed. Perhaps they don't want it legal.
I think Bingo is more interested in being legalized than Jogdobishu. Jogdobishu, the operators, they have a good structure, they have technology, they have the trust. It's all about trust in Jogdobishu. They pay on time, they pay their employees on time. I don't see why they would be interested in being on the legal side. I shouldn't even say that, but in my opinion,
This is the podcast where we ask the tough questions and we get the real answers. We don't skirt around it.
For what I heard, actually, I had a lot of Bingo operators saying, yeah, I would like to be legalized and regulated. I never had a bicheiro saying, I absolutely want the legalization, because they have a good operation. They are very progressive, actually. They have a good structure. They have good technology. I don't see why.
Well, thank you, Lily. That's refreshing to have the answer. Now, what Robin doesn't know is that there's another segment that's come onto the show that we are introducing this week, the quick fire quiz. So, come on, quick fire quiz. Okay. Lily, I believe you've got some questions for us.
I'm going to be very brief, Damien, very easy. One for you. So, Brazil online sports and iGaming market, it's expected to reach this year how much? I did multiple questions. 50 billion, 150 billion, or 66 billion reais? Goes for it. How much is going to be?
I would imagine the man who, I think it says behind him, the most trusted underlined data and intelligence on the global gaming industry, I would hope that he would have a nice answer.
Yeah, but I know the answer. It's a quiz that we're competing against each other, Robin. Answer this one.
I always thought of this as more of a partnership, so I'd be looking to you to be able to share that data.
Oh, dear. You thought it was a partnership. The answer is $66 billion.
Yes, that is correct. Okay, this one to Ed. Robin probably knows this one. That is correct.
I didn't even know we're competing. I thought this was just quizzing us on our knowledge to justify all the trips out to Brazil this year.
Because I also worked for the event side, this year at IGB Live, for the first time, we had a group of Brazilian companies, has a name, that represents Brazil in the most relevant shows around the world.
Brazilian Lounge.
That is correct. And because I know that you're both learning Portuguese and doing very well, I must say, what is the name of Brazilian regulator in Portuguese? Right. I mean the institution, not the name of the person.
Oh, Secretario dos Premios e Apostas.
Very good, Robin. I'm impressed.
Is it Secretario or Secretario?
Don't quibble over term.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too fussy about it. Secretaria de...
You're allowed to get it wrong. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah, not going to quibble over it. Lily, you are our third guest we've ever had on the podcast. So thank you very much for joining us and bringing some much needed order to the usual chaos, as well as a bit of additional knowledge on Brazil, on Peru. So thank you very much for joining us. And to our audience, as ever, thank you very much for listening to episode 11, double figures, of Right to the Source.
You may be our third guest, but I'd say you are our number one guest in terms of content. See that, Robin?
That makes me
feel appreciated after you just didn't even bring them into the podcast until we started.
Well, anytime you want to bring me over to make a Latin America quiz, just let me know.
Will do. All right, so I'll try my outro again after Ed interrupted it. So, everyone, thank you very much for listening to episode 11 of Right to the Source with Robin Harrison, Ed Birkin, and special guest Liliana Costa. See you in the next one.